The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today, plenty of sunshine, a nice end to the weekend with a high of 82. For tonight, clear skies with a low of 62. Tomorrow, pleasant with plenty of sunshine with a high of 85. For tomorrow night, mainly clear skies with a low of 65. And then on Tuesday, sunny and warm, high 89. That's your AccuWeather forecast. I'm Caitlin Lawrence for AM 860, The Answer.
And I'm on. This is Dr. Bill, your radio MD. I got Ken with me. Are you there, Ken?
I certainly am, sir. How are you today?
All right, buddy. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I can't complain. I mean, I can, but nobody will listen.
Nobody will care, right?
Nobody cares. Like, I got my own problems, dude. Leave me alone.
So what's going on today, doctor?
We're doing a radio show. We're podcasting. We're on Facebook and YouTube and Twitch. And I don't know where all... somewhere else, X. I think we're on X too, but we'll see. We'll see if anybody responds. At any rate,
we've got some interesting graphics today.
We do. I had an interesting case on Friday. Of course, they always walk in at Friday afternoon late. And if you look behind me here, you'll see. Let's see if I can get out of the way. You'll see the colon, the large colon. You see that?
I do.
You see that little worm down there at the bottom?
Little squiggly thing on the end. Okay.
Okay, that's in your right lower belly. That's your appendix.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And that's basically, it's a lymph node, a hollow lymph node, and it is meant to filter out bacteria, et cetera, before the bolus of food enters the large bowel from the small bowel. So that can get infected, and then when that's inflamed and infected, like this little one here, that's called an appendicitis. And that hurts.
That's when you guys go in.
That's when we go in and we take that little sucker out. And, you know, it's like a 15-minute procedure now through the scope. It's pretty simple to do. You want to get in there before it ruptures. Now, this guy came in, and he's a little bit younger than me, and he had a 2-day history of belly pain. And he said it hurts here on the right and on the left lower quadrant. So we divide the belly into... four quadrants. So if you look at the picture there, the midline vertical through the belly button and then horizontal across the belly through the belly button. And then so you have the right upper, the right lower, the left upper, and the left lower. Makes sense.
Sure.
And so normally the appendix pain will localize to the right lower quadrant. And oftentimes an infected large bowel will localize to the left lower quadrant. This guy had pain in the right lower and the left lower quadrant, and he also had what we call rebound. Now, rebound is when the peritoneum, the lining around the bowel, which is kind of a transparent membrane that protects the bowel from the outside world and vice versa, when that becomes inflamed either from infection or inflammation, you know, a hot appendix laying up against the peritoneum, you'll get what's called peritoneal signs or rebound. So when you walk or jar your belly, it hurts. And what we do is we'll press on your stomach and then we'll let go quickly and we'll do it on the opposite side. And then if you say, oh, then we know that that's a positive peritoneal sign. So at any rate, I put the guy in the hospital because I didn't know what he had. It's Friday afternoon anyway. I'm ready to go home and have a beer or whatever. I ain't hanging around for this dude. Hey, he came late.
There you go. Make an appointment.
Make an appointment. So at any rate, so we get him in the hospital and we do a CAT scan and he ends up having diverticulitis. Now, diverticulitis is another disease entity and that's an infection of diverticula that are little outpouchings in the bowel. Let's see if I can find a picture of that. And that, here we go.
Yuck.
So this is the colon here, and this is the scope, and these are the little lab patchings that come with age and genetics. So they're like little defects in the large bowel wall, and they can go along with no problems, but occasionally one of these will get infected, and then you have what's called diverticulitis. And diverticulitis is a disease that, by the way, if you're listening on the radio, what we're looking at is the colon, which is the mucosa of the colon, the lining of the colon, you know, when they stick the scope up your butt.
Thank you.
The GI doctor and looks around, looks for cancer, and this is what they see. So if you're not watching this on Facebook or YouTube and you're listening to me, they're little pockets that pooch out of the, I guess that's the best way to say it, Ken.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, and they pooch out, and they can become inflamed or infected. So then when you have an infected one, here's what it looks like when you take it out.
That's double really yuck, bad. Double yuck on that one. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's been taken out of somebody, so they're short a little bit of bowel there.
You can see this on Dr. Bill, your Radio MD Facebook
yeah.
page.
Yeah, you can see that. Yeah. You can go to Dr. Bill, your Radio MD, 860 AM, WGUL.
You'll find it.
Yeah, and then you can just, also you probably Google Dr. Bill Radio MD and find us.
Yeah.
So at any rate, the picture that I'm showing is an inflamed segment of large bowel that was taken out of a patient who had bad diverticulitis. Most of the time we can treat this with antibiotics. So at any rate, I had started the guy on antibiotics, and the CT scan came back with diverticulitis, mm-hmm. which is more common in that age group, in our age group, than an appendix. Although you can get an appendix at any time, they're more common in kids and young adults.
I never had a trouble with my appendix at all, so.
Dang.
It's still there for you, Doc. I'm not dead yet.
Yeah, we're ripening it up.
He just can't. Yeah, he just wants to cut into me.
We just want that cash, baby.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay. Well, now I'm on the Medicare. Do whatever you want.
All right. Okay, we'll take off a limb or two. At any rate, I've got that down pat in the office. I even got Ron Jura so we can smooth the bone off when we.
Oh, that's sweet of you. Okay.
Or we put the flap over so it doesn't poke out and bother you after you heal.
Thank you very much.
At any rate, the differential diagnosis here is going to be pelvic inflammatory disease. That's pretty common, or not uncommon, I should say, in young women with abdominal pain. This is when you have a venereal infection, often with gonorrhea, and it gets out of the uterus and through the fallopian tubes and into the belly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that you can treat with antibiotics. You can also get an abscess in your ovarian tubes. Women can also get endometriosis, which is an abnormal placement of the lining of the uterus outside of the uterus in the pelvis or the bowel wall. Actually, it can be anywhere, but more commonly in the pelvis and in the bowel. So that can cause pain too. When they're in their menstrual cycle, it flares up because it's the same lining as the uterus can, mm-hmm. and it will bleed. And of course, as you know, iron is very irritating and it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
You can also have an ovarian cyst, or you can have a twisted ovary where the blood supply goes down to it and it gets ischemic. It doesn't have enough blood flow, and that can hurt. You can have a kidney stone. You can have a urinary tract infection. All these things can cause belly pain. And you can have, of course, diverticulitis. Then Crohn's disease, Ken, is an inflammatory process. It's an autoimmune disease. It's kind of like rheumatoid arthritis, only instead of attacking the joints, you attack your own bowel. And Crohn's and ulcerative colitis, these are the two inflammatory processes of the bowel, are the most common ones anyway.
So if somebody walks into your office and says, my belly hurts, that's why you do so many tests, I imagine, because there are so many different possibilities.
Yeah, plus we get all that extra cash.
Yes, right. Yeah.
We love belly pain. You can check the urinary system. You can check the bowel. You can check the bladder. You go all over the place there, man.
So the less specific the patient is, the better it is for you, really.
Oh, the better. Yeah. Well, see, I think you need a whole body scan. This could be a brain tumor. But it hurts down here in my belly, Doc.
Don't argue with me.
I'm the doctor.
What else we got?
Well, you got colon cancer.
And oh, serious ones.
Gallbladder. And
I had my gallbladder out. Yeah.
So, at any rate, so now you got the idea.
Very good. My dad had his gallbladder out as well, and it's amazing the difference in the scars. His was from, like, top of his shoulder down to his belly or something.
Oh, yeah.
And
those days are gone. Everything's done through the scope.
Yeah, they did mine in the scope. Yeah, you couldn't believe that. A little damage there was.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing what you guys can do.
So did you hear about the shooting over in Tampa?
Which one?
The Armature Works.
Oh, that one. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay, so this 19-year-old kid named Yamartez Young and then a 17-year-old named Gabriel Katoy. At any rate, they were mad at each other, and they got into a gunfight over there.
Oh, man.
And they winged three women.
Yeah.
Now, this is a true story. My friend, Dr. Siegel, he was over there sitting at the bar next to one of the women that got hit.
Wow.
So he grabbed her and ducked, and as he's pulling her down and ducking, he got grazed. But he didn't tell anybody because he didn't want to be in the paper. Hmm. But he's in the news now, baby. You cannot escape Dr. Bill. So I talked to him yesterday because I called him on a consult on this guy because he's a belly surgeon. And I said, "You okay?" He said, "Yeah, just grazed me, just nicked me." Hmm. And I said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, I pulled her down and we're behind the bar or wherever, you know, they were behind some barricade. And the kid comes running around behind him and he's got an Uzi."
Oh,
he's
man.
Got an Uzi. I'm like, where does a 17-year-old kid get an Uzi?
No kidding.
And can he turn me on to his gun deal?
When I was 17 years old, there's no way I would know even how to begin to get an Uzi or any gun. That's how much things have changed.
I had guns, but I didn't have an Uzi. Dang. I had a deprived childhood, you know.
No Uzis.
No Uzi. So, at any rate, they've charged these two kids with attempted murder.
Oh, they should, yeah.
Yeah, and endangerment and firing in public.
They were certainly trying to kill each other.
Yeah, they're going to jail.
Yeah, good. Hope for a long time.
Put them away, baby. Put them away.
Absolutely.
And so I said, "What'd you think, Gavin?" He said, "I looked up and there's this kid with an Uzi." I was shitting in my pants.
Oh.
Bleep that, would you?
I hope I got there in time. We'll find out.
I know, I might get kicked off the air here now.
No, I think I made it. I don't know. We'll find out.
So at any rate, unbelievable, huh?
Yeah.
You never know. You never know. And then over in Australia, at a mall, some guy took his knife and he went after people with his knife. I guess he was crazy. And he killed six people with a knife. Six people each.
With a knife?
With a knife. Who says you need a gun?
Yeah.
And he was stopped by a female cop, a senior female cop, and she was in the mall. I guess she was shopping for, a new cop hat or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Female cops do in the mall. At any rate, so she pulled her gun and she charged him. And she said, "Put the knife down," and he wouldn't put it down. She didn't wait. She, bam, put two in his chest, and that was it. He was gone.
Good.
But this guy killed even a baby. He sliced a baby
up. Wow. Where are these psychos coming from?
They're mommies.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to blame mom. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're such a nice guy.
He must be on meth or something. Somebody doing that.
Oh, yeah.
You know. Other problems.
They didn't give his name, so he probably is a Muslim or an immigrant or something.
Yeah.
Who knows? At any rate, so we've got shootings everywhere.
And that's just this country in the free world. You want to get it?
That's in the free world. since you're free, you can use a knife.
Should we get into the Muslim world right now and see what's going on there?
Well, I heard that the Iranians sent 300 drones to attack Israel.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating situation because, of course, there was no damage to the Israelis because they had the Iron Dome. And the Iron Dome are mobile anti-whatever batteries that roam around, and there's a central radar station that directs them where to go and directs their fire, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And they only shoot down those missiles or those devices or drones or ICBMs or whatever that are going to threaten population areas. I did not know that, Ken.
Really? So, if it's going somewhere that's not going to hurt anybody, they don't
shoot
it down.
They let it go. They don't waste their ammo on it.
Good idea. Yeah.
And so they fire multiple anti-missile missiles. I guess they're fairly small, and they're proximity missiles. So when they get close to the device that's incoming, they go off and they blow up. And so the Israelis haven't had any damage, even though a few of these things have landed on Israeli soil. They are in unpopulated areas.
So now what? What happens next? Israel goes after them? How strongly and how?
I don't know. If I were planning it, I would certainly take a look at their nuclear facilities and take those out first. But that would certainly be an escalation. Now, if they just go after the factories that are making the drones and the missiles, then that would, to the world, I'm sure, would seem appropriate and acceptable. But if you go after their nuclear facilities, which, of course, we know where they are, but they're all buried, so you'd have to use bunker buster bombs, which are what we have.
Right.
And we have the armaments. We got the best stuff.
We've got the biggest booms, don't we? Yes.
We got the good stuff, baby. We got the good stuff. And now Joe's going to help them, he says. Last week he was mad at him because they were going to flatten the rest of Gaza, and now we're going to start flattening Iran, or as Americans say, Iran. Where are you running? I don't know.
That was a great band back in the 80s, I think, Iran.
Yeah.
No, that's Flock of Seagulls did the song Iran. Sorry.
Oh, that Flock of Seagulls, yeah.
Okay.
So, Ken, we've got a situation here, and we're going to have to answer both to the United States and Israel, because Israel is our hip-to-hip partner. We're joined, you know.
Yeah.
And we cannot continue to criticize them for defending themselves against the Hamas and the Hezbollah and the other Muslim terrorists that are trying to take their country down. And you got to admit, I mean, after all of this, anybody who has studied this and watched this, who knows anything about this, knows that there's no innocence here. Everybody is involved. I mean, the women have the babies that become the terrorists, and they teach these kids to hate Israelis or Americans or whatever. The Iranians may be a little bit smarter than most of the population. They're pretty educated, pretty wise people, and I'm sure that they get outside news somehow. You know, they're not idiots. But the propaganda machine that's in control of Iran, the Ayatollahs and the clergy, they need to go.
Yeah,
I guess we could hit them, but then that would be a step up, because the Iranians did not target, I don't think, Netanyahu and the Knesset, the Israeli parliament, the governing body. I think they targeted just randomly to see what they could hit.
Well, two thoughts on this. I was happy to see the U.S. and the Brits and the Iraqis, I guess, and Saudis were also in this. We're not at least giving permission, I would imagine, to put our missiles in there and take out the drones, because we took out a lot before they even got to Israel.
Oh, yeah.
So that was all good. I'm glad to see that everybody jumping in there and helping out. And the second is, I would fill up my tank if I were you, because this could have a price of an effect on gasoline in a day or two.
Yeah, gas prices are going up, and so I'm sorry for you guys.
That's right. You got the big EV. That's right. Yeah.
I'm cruising, baby.
All you gotta do is plug in.
Plug in on
as you drive by the gas lines. That's right.
Monday morning, I'm good to go. Unfortunately, all of our power plants are either natural gas fired or coal fired or nuclear fired plants, our energy plants, our electricity plants. So we still have some hydroelectric plants like the Hoover Dam. You know, we're still producing some that way, although the environmentalists, remember when they said back in the 80s, oh, you got to get rid of these dams and these reservoirs that you've impounded because you're threatening our environment. And now we have a major, we don't have a water shortage on the planet. We have a water shortage on the ground.
That's right.
It's not, you know, so we're in a drought here in North America. And I would guess a lot of the world is in a drought. You know, the Gobi Desert isn't expanding. It's marching towards Beijing, and they say it'll take Beijing over in 50 years.
So we'll just wait.
We'll wait.
We'll just wait them out. They'll all be covered with sand in 50 years.
And Beijing actually has sandstorms now.
I had no idea that they were that close to a desert.
Yes, they are. The Gobi Desert's marching towards them. And the Gobi Desert, it blows all that ultra-fine dust right across Beijing. And when you look up, you know, they say the air pollution is terrible in Beijing because of all the cars. But if you look up, you can see several miles up, there is a dome, and it is filled with microscopic dust particles from the Gobi Desert. And that's what's trapping all the smog and all the gas and auto emissions and coal emissions in Beijing. And that's what's causing the pollution, the air pollution in Beijing. Now, my wife, she complained, and she said it was hurting her eyes and her nose. And, of course, some of that's psychosomatic, I'm sure, because she heard that there was bad air pollution.
It's all in your imagination, sweetheart.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I felt okay. I didn't feel any different.
I'm fine, so you should be too. Okay.
But if you look up, I mean, you got to look around in life. If you don't look up and look down and look around you, you're not going to see what's going on. But it was fascinating to see. I stood there on a clear day, and I looked up, and you could just see that there was a haze several miles up, and it was a dome-like haze over the whole city. And that's what it was.
I thought it was just pollution. I thought they wore those masks all the time just because of pollution. But no, it's got sand in it.
Got sand and dust, and it blows over into South Korea. I guess North Korea, too, but we don't know because we're not allowed to go in there.
Yeah.
So the South Koreans, they get all this dust, just like we get dust from the Sahara. Blows over to, did you know it blows
sure.
over here to Florida?
Oh, yeah, it cuts down our hurricane severely.
Yeah, and it's also a fertilizer.
Okay, sure, why not?
I mean, I felt more fertile when it blows. I'm hotly pursued during that season.
Really, no kidding. All right.
So at any rate, that is the story there. What were we talking about? I forgot. I don't know how we got there.
We got the weather and sand. We started talking about the attack on Israel. That's where that was the subject.
Oh, yeah. And then you were talking about the price of oil going up because, of course, Iran is supplying oil to China and other countries in the Far East. And if we attack them, we may disrupt the flow of oil out of Iran, which will put pressure on the world because the Chinese are going to go and buy it somewhere.
Exactly.
And so the Saudi oil and the Mara oil and the Venezuelan oil, which is not very good oil, by the way.
But the Russian oil is all sanctioned now, so nobody's getting any of that.
Well, I mean, the Indians are sneaking it in.
Well, yeah, but that's, they don't, they, you know what, I'd rather have them doing that than going on the spot market. It'll just drive up the price even further.
Fascinating that 50, 60, 70 years ago, the Soviet economy was 10 times the size of the Indian economy. And now India's economy is 10 times the size of Russia's.
Well,
my, how times change.
They just don't understand it over there in Russia, unfortunately.
No,
they never will, I don't think.
No. And India, even though it's moving slowly towards modernity and coming into the 21st century, since it's a democracy, it's going to remain, I think, more stable than China or any other country that is that size, that it's a non-democracy. And as we noted before, the Nigerians are going to be number three in population here shortly. I had one of my Nigerian patients, and we were talking about that on Wednesday or Thursday. Nice guy, nice young guy. And he said there's 230 different dialects in Nigeria. 230. And they're all tribal. He said that, you know, I said, the problem is tribalism. He said, you're right, Doc. He said, one tribe gets in and they're going to get everything they can get and be as corrupt as they can because they know they'll be voted out and somebody else will come in and be more corrupt.
It's just a rotation they got going. Yeah.
It's a rotation. And, you know, the North is all Muslim now and they're making babies left and right and they're kidnapping 13-year-old girls and forcing them into marriages and, you know, one guy can have 8 or 10 women. Mm. Why on earth would you want that? I mean, it'd be like a loudspeaker 360 around you complaining.
No, that'd be nice.
Yeah, I know, but you, Muhammad, you need to come over here and discipline this child. And
8 wives. Yeah. Well, that would be interesting.
Forget it.
Yeah. Hey, Doc, look at the time.
What time we got?
It is 9:29. You know what that means. Time for a question.
Oh, by the way, I want to make sure that Henry Boyd and Don Marple got their mugs because I still haven't figured out which one the post office was trying to return to me. So if anybody out there has not gotten a mug, please give Ken a call. Make sure that you make Ken repeat your address because he kind of gets it muddled.
I'm old.
He's old.
That's right. So.
So at any rate, what's your question for us, Ken?
Well, today's question, we have the human body, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure you will. We have a large intestine and we have a small intestine.
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right. Today we were talking about a problem that affects which one of those systems. We were talking about this about 20 minutes ago.
It's a 50-50 shot, large or small.
That's right, large or small. Exactly. And the first person.
I just wanted to call it where?
At 877-969-8600 will win. That's 877-969-8600. It's a beautiful Dr. Bill, your Radio MD coffee mug, and you will get two of them if you have the correct answer.
Not one, but two.
That's right, exactly. 877-969-8600.
And Ken, we are also a medical practice, you know, and we're at 727-384-6411, 727-384-6411. And we'll be right back, Ken.
Experience the best selection of cigars and accessories in the country. Corona Cigar is located at 4142 West Boy Scout Boulevard across from International Plaza. Or visit coronacigar.com.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. A bird flu outbreak in U.S. dairy cows spreading to more than 24 herds in 8 states. This comes weeks after the nation's largest egg producer found the virus in its chickens. Health officials continue to stress that the risk to the public is low and that the food supply is safe and stable. Commercial milk remains safe and available because pasteurization, a high heat treatment, kills the bacteria and viruses. You might want to avoid raw milk, however. Oil and gas companies will have to pay more to drill on federal lands and satisfy stronger requirements to clean up old or abandoned wells. Under a final rule from the Biden administration, the Interior Department raising royalty rates for oil drilling by more than a third to 16.5% in accordance with a 2022 law approved by Congress. This is SRN News.
Dr. Bill for Bay Area Medical, located at 6399 38th Avenue North in St. Pete, 727-384-6411, 727-384-6411. Full-service clinic with X-ray, heart imaging, ultrasound, stress testing, and minor surgery. We provide quality health care in a warm and friendly atmosphere. We are multilingual, well-trained, and certified. Most American insurance and new patients accepted. Bay Area Medical, home of Can Care, 727-384-6411. 727-384-6411.
Dr. Bill here. With social distancing and sheltering in place, telemedicine is here. Bay Area Medical, home of Can Care Clinic, offers telemedicine for new and established patients. You can see me without an in-office visit. Schedule an appointment at 727-384-6411. 727-384-6411. When it's time for your appointment, type this web address into your cell phone or computer web browser, doxy.me/Bay Area Med. A cell phone works well and is all you really need. For computers, you need a web camera and speakers. We'll give you this address when you call for your appointment. We accept most insurances and travel insurances. Canadians and visitors, please call your travel insurance company for an authorization number prior to the visit. Copays and deductibles apply. Self-pay rates are available. Just ask. We accept credit cards, PayPal, and Stripe. 727-384-6411. 727-384-6411.
Dr. Bill here. My friends at St. Pete MRI and Sleep Diagnostics are your best choice for state-of-the-art MRI, CT, and sleep studies. Quality unsurpassed. 25 years experience makes St. Pete MRI my go-to imaging center. Self-pay rates are competitive and out-of-pocket cost a fraction of a hospital. Conveniently accessible from both sides of the bay at 750 94th Avenue North, St. Pete, near the Gandy. 727-577-2220. 727-577-2220.
Helping you get where you're trying to go. Get digital media solutions for your business. Visit SurroundTampa.com. SurroundTampa.com.
For today, plenty of sunshine, a nice end to the weekend with a high of 82. For tonight, clear skies with a low of 62. Tomorrow, pleasant with plenty of sunshine with a high of 85. For tomorrow night, mainly clear skies with a low of 65. And then on Tuesday, sunny and warm, high 89. That's your AccuWeather forecast. I'm Caitlin Lawrence for AM 860, The Answer.
And I'm back. This is Dr. Bill, your radio MD, and we're doing the second half of our wonderful show. I got Ken with me.
And we have a winner.
We got a winner. We got a wiener. I mean a winner.
We got a winner. That's absolutely right, Doc. Congratulations to George McGee. George McGee of St. Petersburg, Florida. He knew that we were talking about the large bowel.
And there it is right behind me if you're watching there on Facebook or YouTube.
There you go. And it had, and what was Ken, it? What was the disease?
I'm sorry.
The disease. What was the disease? We were talking about delictolitis or something. I don't know what it is.
Diverticulitis. Ah. Diverticulitis. Okay. Diverticula are little outpouchings in the large intestinal wall, and they can get infected. They come with age and genetics.
And it gives you a tummy ache.
It gives you a tummy ache, and it's a bacterial infection, and it needs antibiotics. And if you don't come in and get it treated and you let it go too long, you're going to end up with a piece of your colon cut out, buddy boy.
Doesn't sound like fun. Like,
no. Well, we can do it through the scope now, but boy, pulling that thing through the belly wall. Mm.
Anyway, George wins two Dr. Bill, your radio MD coffee mugs. Those will be coming at you real soon here, George. And thanks to everybody who tried to win.
And George, we appreciate you listening, buddy. I wonder if George is related to Molly McGee.
Well, maybe he'll call and tell you.
He might.
Yeah. Maybe he'll show up at the office and say, I want to be a patient, because I think everybody should be your patient.
Absolutely. And we are at 727-384-6411. And we are also in person if you want to see me. And you can get a mug if you come join the practice at 6399 38th Avenue North in St. Petersburg, Florida. And you say, well, I live in Tampa or Bradenton or wherever.
I'm a patient. I live in Sun City.
Yeah. Jump in your car and come on up. We have people that come from Orlando. Do you believe that?
Because they want the best.
Well, they're Korean and they want to see my wife. She speaks Korean and she's, you know, in the medical field.
I imagine that's a little rare. Yeah.
They call her the little Korean doctor.
Okay.
I'll call her your highness when she's looking at me.
Well, whatever reason, stop by the office and sign up.
So I found out the name of the guy in Australia that stabbed the six people to death, Joel Cauchy, C-A-U-C-H-I. So I apologize if I offended any Muslims out there.
Fauci?
Cauchy, related to Fauci, but on the other side of the Cauchy.
Okay.
And he apparently has had mental health problems since he was a teenager, and he's lived in, you know, homeless in the shelters and all that for decades. And his family said they're terribly sorry and they feel bad. But interestingly, the woman whose baby got stabbed, she was in the middle of being stabbed by this guy, and she threw her baby to some other person to save the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So the baby went to surgery, I guess, or one of the babies, And they're hopeful that the baby will make it. So fascinating.
Seven people.
Unbelievable.
Were they all fighting and trying to get him off? I mean, were they all involved in the same fight, or was it separate attacks? I don't know anything about the story yet. So,
yeah, I don't know the whole story. Apparently, these were random, so he was probably just running through the mall and slashing as he went. And you know, if you're not expecting it, then all of a sudden you're chit chatting with your friends and you look up and there's a guy with a knife headed for your heart. Well, what are you going to do? I mean, you got to be pretty quick. And of course, women are not going to react in general the way men do. You know, we're more suspicious. So I don't know about you, Ken, but when I walk into a room or a restaurant, I look around, I make sure I know where all the exits are. I keep an eye on the front door. And a lot of guys do that. Did you know that?
I check for exits. Yes, absolutely. But I don't keep an eye on the door for somebody to come in, you know.
Well, you know, since I was in the mafia in my younger days, I've got to make sure that they're not putting a hit on me.
Well, yeah, I don't think I have those problems, even though I'm from Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want the Corleones coming in and ruining my dinner.
I did grow up in a neighborhood where the garages, everything was made of brick back in the 20s, and they did have gun emplacement ports. Areas.
Yeah, little gun ports.
Yeah, so they could shoot out at the cops when they showed up.
Yep.
Right in my neighborhood.
That's the way you got to do it. Of course, we don't shoot at the cops anymore because hopefully they'll come and protect us.
Right, exactly. But back then.
Back then, you didn't know for sure who was on what side.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily the cops. It was, you know, Bugs Moran coming over to say hello. Mm-hmm. Mr. Capone or something.
Well, remember the Valentine's Day massacre? The guys were dressed up like cops.
That's right. Yeah.
And exactly. They put the other bad guys up against the wall and then gunned them right down.
Some of them weren't even bad guys. One guy, I think, was just a mechanic who was working there that day. But
you know,
a witness.
That's another reason not to become a mechanic.
I guess so. Or not to work for Capone.
Yeah, not to fix Capone's car.
Yeah. I bet it paid well.
Well, yeah.
Until
you didn't get him mad. You got him mad here.
Yeah.
So at any rate, this is another reason to lock these people with mental illness up. I mean, although it's rare, come on, you can't have these people wandering around out on the street. Plus, it cost us a lot of time and money because we have to take care of them, feed them, have facilities for them, clean up after them. They're pooping on the streets and making a mess, and it's really a bad situation.
Yeah, I know, but a lot of money. A lot of money needs to be spent to do something like that.
Yeah, but what's the cost? I don't know. Maybe you'd have to do some kind of cost analysis to see what damage it does to society financially after they do some kind of deed like this. I mean, you've got six people dead in Australia from some crazy guy stabbing and slashing, and what does that do to the families, and how many people are affected, and how much revenue does the community lose because we've lost productive people, or who's going to raise the kids if these mothers are killed? And you know there's a lot of questions that we have to ask, and a lot of variables, outliers and confounders that have to be taken into consideration, Ken, to see what's more expensive, locking them up and making them take their medication, or cleaning up after them. I don't know.
This was in Australia, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Now, don't they have carry laws there? Don't people carry guns out there in Australia all the time?
Well, apparently this cop did in the mall, and she just pulled it out and mowed the SOB down. So,
yeah, but I, you know, it does say something for being armed.
Yeah, and I think that if you want to take over a country, the first thing you do is disarm it. So hang on to your guns, folks.
Yeah, then you take over the TV stations.
Yeah, and the radio stations.
And the radio stations, that's right. If you're planning a coup,
Dr. Bill.
If you're planning a coup, that would be one of the steps. So
yeah, you better get Dr. Bill first. Because what we say on this show, 2 weeks later, the national press picks up on. So apparently we're leading the charge here. At any rate,
you certainly did during COVID, I'll tell you that.
I tell you what, and also during the Iraq War, when we were talking about that, and Afghanistan, I mean, I laid out the whole situation there. And that was before your time, Ken. But yeah, there are a lot of things that I have led on. And, you know, actually, Marco Rubio, 2 weeks later, he repeated almost verbatim what had said on the radio.
Well, maybe Senator's out there right now. Morning, Senator.
How you doing? Marco. How are you? It's Dr. Bill and Ken. Give us a call.
I don't think he's up right now. He's probably at church. He's probably doing something. He catches the podcast. He catches the podcast.
Yeah, he'll get it later.
Yeah.
So we got another crazy woman out in Los Angeles. She stabs her partner as she's riding down the highway and kills him or her. I don't know if it was.
We got to get rid of all these knives. We can't have knives anymore.
Then she throws her kids out of the window of the car moving on the freeway.
Okay, no problems there.
One of them died.
I'll bet. It's not a nice thing to do.
Yeah, they don't tell you whether her partner was male or female, but we got a wacko there.
Mm-hmm.
And
California.
I don't remember those things. I don't remember those things happening when I was a kid. I don't remember.
Maybe we just never heard about them.
Oh, we heard about it in Louisville. I mean, I remember the first time we had two older kids killing two younger kids, took them out in the country and just fun killed them. What do they call it? Spree killing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bad situation. And then we also had, I had another incident here. Where is that? Well, that was a cop. But anyway, oh, yeah, this is cool, Ken. You'll like this. So this guy down in Texas, they wouldn't give him his commercial motor vehicle license. So he got mad. Guess what he did?
What'd he do?
He stole an 18-wheeler. He rammed it into.
Yeah.
Into the Texas Department of Public Safety building, which also had the commercial driver license section there, killing one person and injuring more than a dozen.
Man. What?
So when people come into my office and say, I need an exam for my commercial motor vehicle license, I automatically, you're fine. You're
good. Yeah.
And then I give them their red and white cane and help them at the door. But at least they don't ram their 18-wheeler into my building.
Just such bizarre activities these days around the country, around the world, it seems now.
It is odd.
Yeah. I don't know if we're just hearing about it more because social media and all that, or it's always happened, or is it just a phenomenon of the new century?
Well, I think that there were more restraints, and as we've said before, if there's no punishment, if there's no consequences to your crimes, well, guess what? You're going to do it. I mean, look, if you have a father at home who says, no, you can't go out and get an Uzi, and you say, yes, I can, and then he beats the crap out of you and says no, well, you're going to say, that might not be a good idea because I don't like getting beat. And I told you the story with my son. We caught him with pot in his freshman year, and I didn't sit down and have a talk with him and say, now, son, you know, pot's bad for you, because he'd just argue with you. I grabbed him by the scruff of his neck, dragged him out of bed, kicked him down the stairs, and told him if I ever caught him with drugs in the house again, he was gone. He can go live with his mother in a closet.
Well, you set the rules.
And he, you know what? He hardly drinks. He had a glass of wine at dinner last night, and that was it.
Hey, he did a good job there, Doc.
Yeah, well.
Well, we need more of that.
He's a good kid. He's a good kid. I like him. I like all my kids. They're good kids.
It's nice when you like your children after they've become adults.
Yeah, and I don't even know them all, so. One knocked on the door the other day and said, hi, Dad. And I'm like, who the hell are you?
Well, that's probably not true, folks. I think the Doc's just funning with you.
I wouldn't lie. I've never lied except for sex and money.
Okay. Well.
And radio ratings. So you remember Steve Garvey?
Steve Garvey, the baseball player.
Yeah, he's running for the Senate out in California.
Is he?
He is. And he made a sweep through the state, and he said he is surprised at the depth of the homeless crisis in California. Do you know half of all homelessness is in California?
Across the country, half of it is in California?
Half of it is in California.
That's because the weather's nice.
The weather's nice, and There's lots of freebies.
Lots of free stuff out there. That's right.
Yeah, you can go out there. And
plus movie stars.
You can even get a pass to Disney World if you're real good and you take a shower.
Well, you know what? If they got to be somewhere.
They got to be.
And
they got to.
You might as well be somewhere warm.
And I don't know. Have you been to Disneyland out in California?
Once when I was a kid, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's nowhere the size of Disney World.
Oh,
here.
No.
But it was fun. We thought we were really at the top of the heap when we went there with our parents when we were kids.
Back when they had the e-tickets and all that stuff. Remember the tickets?
Yep, I remember that. And we went out there to visit my mother's brothers who lived out there, and we stayed with Uncle Walt.
Disney? Walt Disney?
He was not Walt Disney, but he was a World War II veteran, and he lost his leg in the Ardennes. So he was a forward artillery spotter, and these guys would, he'd have a radio man with him, and they would drive forward between the lines, and they'd get up on a hill or somewhere where they had some visibility, and they would radio back to the artillery guys, you know, you're short 20 yards, or you need to go left or right, or, you know, 15 degrees or whatever. And so he's standing up, and the radio man, of course, is on the ground relaying the messages back. And I guess an 88 millimeter or 105 millimeter shell, you know, a big tank shell or artillery shell, came whizzing through it and took his leg off above the knee. Mm. And above the knee. And he didn't even feel it, of course, because, you know, it's so quick and surgical. And he looked around because it blew up a couple hundred yards behind him or 100 yards behind him. And as he looked around, he fell down. And then he realized, hey, I'm missing a leg here, dude.
Wow. So that's incredible.
Yeah, and he got a Purple Heart, of course.
Well, I would hope so, yeah.
Guess what he did for a living when he came back home?
What did he do?
He was a lineman for the power company, so he'd climb up poles with his artificial leg and repair the electrical lines.
That's that generation, man.
Overcompensation, baby.
Yeah, maybe a little bit there, yeah.
A little overcompensation. Fascinating. I remember him. He died of alcoholism in his 40s. Family has some problems, Ken. I didn't want to really share that with everybody on the air, so keep it to yourself.
Okay, I won't tell anybody.
Don't tell anybody. So at any rate, I remember him. We were out at his home in Anaheim, California, and we went out in the backyard on a summer day, and he plopped a chair down, took off his artificial leg, and he had a fifth of whiskey there, and he started drinking and telling us war stories. It was fascinating. You know, you're a little kid, you know, you're 10 years old, and you're like, wow, look at this dude. I want to grow up and be an alcoholic like him.
I want to drink out of my leg or something, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I want to lose a leg like Uncle Walt. And Walt was my mother's favorite. He was the baby of the family, I guess. So she took care of him after her mother died. Her mother died when she was 16. Mm. So she became the head of the household because the older sister had been married off by the old man. Those were the days when the parents were still marrying the kids off.
Making matches?
Yeah, making matches. So, at any rate, that's the old world stuff. The new world, you can't tell me who to marry.
Well, I was reading just yesterday that 40% of millennials are not married. Never have been. Or never have been. One of the two.
And we don't know if they should be.
Well, they apparently don't even want to date, apparently, anymore.
No, they don't want to date. They just want to socialize. So then I guess they pair off for the evening and then go home.
I don't know what they're doing, but they're not getting married anymore. So
No.
That's a bad sign probably for the country overall.
Yeah, and in an odd way, I guess bringing all these illegal immigrants in will keep the population up because they'll have a few more babies than the natives will. You and I are natives, Kent.
I understand, yes. I've been here all my life. But you still can't let everybody in. You got to control it. I mean, you can let people in, but you got to control it.
You got to control it. And we're not the only big country having that problem. You know, China, their population is shrinking. India is now bigger than they are population-wise. You probably didn't know that.
I didn't know they had overtaken China already. Yeah.
They have overtaken China. And
what, $1.3 billion, something like that? What do they got? I don't even know. I know
they're I think they're up to 1.4, and I think China's down to about 1.3.
A lot of mouths to feed.
Don't quote me on that, though. Yeah, thanks. And all these people, you know why they're being able to feed them? Because of us.
American ingenuity.
Yeah, Cargill and Archer Daniel Midland and Dow and DuPont Chemical and all of the hybridized seeds and the fertilizers that we make. It. I love it when people said, I'm not eating anything that's genetically modified. Well, guess what? There ain't nothing on the market that's not genetically modified.
Yeah, it was modified before it went into the ground. That's right.
It was modified long before you took up this no GMO stuff.
That's right. Exactly.
No genetically modified organisms. Well, guess what? You're genetically modified.
Without it, we probably have rampant starvation throughout the world.
Well, remember in the 60s, I don't know if you're old enough to remember, the big thing was there was going to be overpopulation and worldwide starvation.
Yes,
and I think you're
right. Remember that?
Yeah. 2 or 3 billion people on the planet then, and now we've got 8 billion plus. So we're, what, three times the size we were?
Yeah.
I mean, when I was born, there was, what, 150 million people in the United States. Now we're up to almost 450 million. So that's, what, three times? So the world population has tripled since I was born. And you know what? Starvation has gone way down. The people that are starving are the ones like in Somalia that are caught in civil wars, droughts, and they can't get to any supplies or food. And, of course, bums on the street who are drunk and they can't pull themselves into a soup kitchen, and people who are neglected and abused. But, you know, worldwide, there's not much starvation anymore like there was.
And considering the increase in population, yeah. So that's again, is American ingenuity.
American ingenuity. And if it wasn't for our technology and ingenuity, the world would not be able to feed itself. But we used to be, the United States used to be the largest exporter of rice in the world. Did you know that?
I thought that was Asia had more rice than anybody else.
We exported more rice than any other country. Now, what the Chinese and the Indians produced, they consumed at home back in the 60s and 70s because they didn't have enough. So now that's turned around again because the Chinese and the Indians and the Indonesians and a lot of the countries that grow rice, Koreans and the Japanese, they have been able to not only produce enough rice for themselves, but they also export it if you want it. If you don't want it, too bad. You don't get it.
So we're not producing much rice now, I take it.
We still are, but we're not exporting much like we used to.
I'm wondering what part of the country do we grow rice in? I'm not even sure where a rice paddies be.
Well, I think in Louisiana and Texas, that area at the border there, they used to grow rice there. And, you know, somebody told me that even in southern Indiana for a while they were growing rice, but I don't know. I know that when Mao came over here to visit, I think it was Nixon that he visited, and they took him on a tour and they were showing him all of our technology and all of our weaponry and all that. He was like, ma, big deal. But when they took him to our rice farm, he went crazy. He couldn't believe how much rice we were producing and how we were doing it. You know, the mechanization and the modernization of farming and particularly for rice, because that was the staple in China. That now they're eating rice and they're eating wheat and they're eating everything. You know, you go to South Korea, which used to be predominantly rice. Now you can go get a Dunkin' Donut.
Well, I'll bet though their production is up because of what we do, what we came up with here. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Our farming technology, our fertilizers, our chemistry, our hybridization of seeds, making seeds more hardy, making them more drought resistant, bigger plants, more productive plants, you know, more rice per stalk. It's an amazing thing that we've done for the world, Ken.
And not just rice, I mean, corn, wheat, everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Now, we have to thank the Mexicans for their hybridization of corn, and we get all kinds of different corn because of the Mexicans. You know, they developed 120 different strains of corn, Ken. 120.
Well, they've had corn since the, you know, the Aztec days, so.
Oh, yeah. they've over 1,000 years, probably 2,000 years, they've been hybridizing it in the Mesoamericas. But the problem with corn is, as a staple, it's deficient in thiamin. So you get a disease called pellagra. Niacin. Niacin is a B vitamin, and without that, you get pellagra, which is a condition associated with vitamin deficiency. So you need more than just corn. So if you're eating just corn as your starch, throw a little wheat in there if you don't mind.
Is any of that on pizza?
Corn?
Pizza? Got a lot of starch?
Most pizza is wheat, but you can get this gluten-free pizza now, and they make it with, cauliflower and God knows what else, probably a little corn flour and a few other things so that there's no gluten in it, no wheat, because some people are sensitive to gluten.
Well, you know what, Doc? I think we're going to have to save the rest of that discussion for later. We've got about a minute left. So why don't you tell everybody where to get a hold of you if they want the finest medical care in all of Florida?
Dr. Bill is here for you, 727-384-6411, 727-384-6411. We are at 6399 38th Avenue North in St. Petersburg, Florida, and that is easy for you to get to. You can call and make an appointment, or we can do telemedicine, and even if your belly's hurting at 4 p.m. on Friday, come on in. Because I'm going to slap your ass in the hospital. All right, we're out of here, buddy.
Give the phone number. You got about 20 seconds. Give the phone number one more time.
Okay, 727-384-6411, 727-384-6411. Lock up the crazy, nuke the Iranians.
See you later, Doc. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.